Oh, hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Every time. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, does it? Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. God is still good. He never promised, how's that song? You know, a rose garden, right? But anybody that works with roses knows there's thorns. They're beautiful. They smell wonderful. They're great places just to sit. But you got to maintain them. You got to throw a little fertilizer at them. You got to get pricked a few times. Maybe a few dozen. But they're worth it, aren't they? Hallelujah. I tell you what. You know, I've been, I was reading the article that Angela's putting in the newsletter this morning. And she started talking in there a little bit about something that I was talking with somebody the other day. And it's about principles that are in this world. You know, seed time and harvest is one of those principles. You do not need to be a Christian to participate in seed time and harvest. It comes back. The world calls it karma right now because everybody's in on the whole Hindu yoga garbage and stuff like that. You know, namaste just means peace. Well, peace. I don't have to speak Hindi. But it's a principle that's in the world. It's in this earth. It's built in. So is tithing. You know, you do not have to be a Christian for tithing to work. It works, regardless of who you are, regardless of your end destination, it works. So many things, they are just basic principles. You know what makes us Christians? Is we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Not because we treat people good. I don't care who you are, you should treat people right, period. If you have to be told in a book to treat people right, what's wrong with your medulla oblongata? What is wrong? We are Christians because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've received what he has done and his forgiveness. And tithing and sowing seed, those are things, they work. I don't care what you do, they work. You know, for many years, Henry Ford tithed. He didn't really believe in God. As a matter of fact, part of his theories on Jews in particular is what fueled Adolf Hitler. But yet, look at Ford Motor Company. I don't know if they still practice any of that or not. But I do know this, they were the only one that didn't need bailed out. I don't care what you think about Ford in general. They are still probably the biggest motor company in the world. And it all started in a guy's little garage. But he did do one thing. And God honored it. So many people today, we try to figure out how we're going to do things. I tell you what, sow seed. Make sure you're tithing. You gotta have that. You gotta have that canopy of protection over your seed. It's going to protect that seed while it's growing, and in the harvest. But if we do not go beyond just thinking about ourselves, it stops. That's why every year farmers have to get more seed for the next year. Every year it has to be planned on. I'm doing X amount of acres. It's going to take X amount of seed. Determine what you're going to do and do it. And watch the harvest come in. Amen. Shall we bless the tithe and offering this morning? Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your principles, your laws that you have established in this earth. Father, you didn't say as long as people believe that seed time and harvest exist, that it will exist. You said as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will exist. We're still here, and it still exists. So, Father, we present to you today our seed. We present to you today our tithe. Father, I pray that you bless it. Open the windows of heaven. Open up opportunities for people to move through them. And according to your word and according to your will for each individual life, Father, bless them. Pour out blessings so much in their life that they do not have room to receive it. I thank you for this now, and I receive it on your behalf in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Nope. Yep. Well, hallelujah. You know, if you don't think we live in exciting times, you must have your head in the sand, because these are such exciting times right now. I know some people would like them a little less exciting. I'm not going to lie, there's days that I would like it a little less exciting. But that's not going to happen. The times we live in today are so on spot for what's happening, what Jesus said was going to happen. The governments that are being, that are, the governments that were, things that have happened. And today I want to start, we're going to look at a few things that, you know, many people throughout the years, and I've heard it from many pastors and people, oh, you need to have an end time doctrine. Well, I'm going to show you my end time doctrine. It's hold on to the seat of your pants. Because I do not believe for one minute that people have been able to write down in a book exactly what's going to happen. Because we've missed prophecy so many times because somebody decided to write down what they felt. All I'm going to do today, ladies and gentlemen, is show you what the Word says about these things. Now, I may share some of my opinion. I will state it as my opinion. And then I will have to give you $2.59 to go get a cup of coffee. But I'm going to let you know some things, because I think so many people right now, because they feel we're in the end times, and I believe we are. I believe we are in the last days. But by the way, we've been in the last days since Jesus resurrected. Okay? Our little minuscule mindset of what last days are is just so far away from God's, it's not funny. But I do believe we are in these days that Paul said were going to be exciting. That they looked forward to him, because we're going to see the glory of God. Not the glory of man. We're going to see the glory of God reigning. We're not going to see men being able to raise up and corrupt leaders like we have. Today, we are still, all governments on the planet are totally fallible. There's not one, I don't care. I love President Trump, but he's not infallible. Okay? So we're going to look at a few things this morning. And so go ahead and open your Bibles to Daniel. Chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 31. Now we know Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Okay? And this dream bothered him. He didn't want to tell anybody the dream. He wanted them to come tell him the dream. God moved on a certain young man named Daniel. And I have to laugh because I'm like, why do we always picture Daniel as being an old man? It said they were young. Now, granted, they were there for a while, so he got old. But all the pictures I've ever seen of Daniel, he had male pattern baldness, and the rest of what was left was white. And it's like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all young men too. They were all together. So let's go to verse 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck an image, struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. That is Babylon. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron it crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be mixed with it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes and the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that stone was cut from the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Daniel, obviously, was given this vision so he could tell the king. But this vision was brought forth to show us what's coming. At that point, the Babylonian kingdom, I need to make sure I got these in the right order, and then the Medo-Persian kingdom was the silver, and then you had the bronze of the Grecians, but then it got down to the iron. Crush, just ruthless, we're not going to stop. That would be the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire took slaves. They crushed everybody in their path, and they would have kept moving. Except God said, your time is limited. It was also the largest section. If you're paying attention to that, the thighs and the midsection down through here. They probably lasted the longest. They were around for a while. And you can take Hannibal before the Roman Empire. Because if Hannibal hadn't decided to try to take over what little tiny bit of Rome there was, they would have never grown to what they became. So the Roman Empire became this massive government that ruled with an iron fist. But it also brought about many amenities, modern day amenities. You had running water. They had sewers. They had so many things. Joe and I were talking about this the other night about the Colosseum and how they built a canopy over that thing. We considered the Superdome a great feat of modern marvels. These guys did it thousands of years ago with ropes, cloth, and wood. We had cranes and all kinds of stuff to build these things. They had the same things. They had running water, massive cities with water being pumped in, paved streets, public toilets. But they were also ruthless, cold, crushing, and it was all about the Republic. But then we go forward. It doesn't tell us how many years are in between any of these. It just says these will be major kingdoms that are established on the earth. But then it gets down to the feet and the lower parts of the legs. Partly iron, partly clay. Partly iron means that it's going to be part of the Roman Empire, i.e. a republic. Does anybody know of any republics? We confuse it for a democracy, but it is not a democracy. We are a republic. But it will be mixed, instead of with just rules, it'll be mixed with a little bit of fleshy stuff. Stuff that makes it weak, as the dream was interpreted. Our government is indeed truly this way. I don't think there's any government in the world other than communism, and I'd have to say that is communism and socialism are closer to being just flat out destruction, but they do not have the impact that the United States has had. And so what God showed man at that time was the kingdoms up until the return of Christ. The return of Christ, Jesus is the stone that was cut from the mountain that no man cut, and he crushed all of man's governments so that they were blown away and left to go. And then it grew. That's what is amazing. It was a stone that crushed it, but it became a mountain. In other words, it became something that was never, ever going to be moved. Today, we're so many people are just worried, sick about, well, do I make preparations for an apocalypse? Exactly how do you make preparations? Well, I'm going to store fuel. I'll give you one thing to let you know what's going to happen. If you store fuel, people are going to take it. I'd be one of them if I need it. I just tell you right now. Oh, I just can't believe it. Yeah, you'd be surprised what hunger and cold and stuff will make you do. So if I think I would take it, what about the people who have no scruples, who don't care? I know people right now, they're burying fuel tanks in the ground, filling them with diesel because, well, and they're getting old school diesels because the new ones have computers. So if I see you driving down the road, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I read A Last Babylon. Anybody else read that book in school? I read A Last Babylon, and groups of people would go against each other because of what they had. Well, we should be prepared. You know, we should be able to live like mountain men. Oh, my goodness. Learn to trust God. I'm not saying don't think about it. But don't concentrate on what you're going to do. I'm going to stack MREs up in the corner for years and years. By the way, by the time you're getting them, they're probably on the back end of their use-by date anyhow. And trust me, after 2 weeks of not going to the bathroom, you will not like MREs. They're not good for you. 2,000 calories each, by the way. We ate 3 of them a day. But we're living at such times right now that people are focusing on what do I do? How do I get here? How do I get there? What do we do? What's going on? There's certain things you need to watch. Israel's the number one thing you need to watch. What's going on with Israel? What is going on with Syria, with Russia in particular? What is going on with those nations that we have a partial identity on in biblical things? What are they doing? Are they gathering? There's so much that's got to happen yet. There's stuff I believe has already happened in the book of Revelation. Everybody, well, we ain't had this, and it says, listen, the last day started when Jesus resurrected. So yes, some of them have already happened. But today's prophets don't want you to do that. They want you living in fear. I don't want you living in fear. Fear is a lack of faith. Okay? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink tomorrow. God knows you have need of that. Don't worry about your children or your grandchildren. God already knows everything. And besides that, anybody comes after my children or grandchildren, I don't care how old I am. I may have to gnaw on an ankle, but I will defend them. That's all there is to that. It doesn't go away just because I get older. I can promise you that. So now we fast forward to today's day. We've got governments being set. Listen, folks, if you are not paying attention to what's going on, we are in a battle for this country. If you listen to the news, if all you're listening to the news is, please, for the love of God, stop. Watch 15 minutes of news per day and turn the garbage off. I don't care if it's Fox. That's who we watch. 15 minutes. Get the headlines. Turn it off. Because people cannot speak through faith in the news. Even them. I told a guy the other day, I said, here's what I've come to learn. There's the left side, the right side, and then there's the truth. I have seen it. I get all these conservative groups sending me their newsletters, and to get me to open up their newsletter, they put on something to try to spin. I don't need the truth spun. Okay? I don't need a spin on it. I will tell you, you need to get out and vote. You need to get out and vote. Well, I don't like anybody. I don't care. You're not voting for who you like right now. You're voting against something. Let's get that straight. I know some Democrats who didn't vote Democrat. I said, you're a Democrat? Yeah, he said, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I said, you voted for Trump. He said, listen, I didn't vote for Trump. I voted against Hillary. You need to understand that's what took place. We're coming up in a time right now that God, I believe, is trying to get the church to wake up, because the days of the final days are upon us. We're going to see things set up. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? You know, our government. Trump's our best deal right now. We know that. Okay? I ain't saying he's perfect. For crying out loud, first one without sin, please pick up a stone. Not a one of us is going to be able to do it. His sins just get broadcasted. Oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton didn't think that what her husband did in office was wrong at all. Seriously? This is how bad it's gotten. Let's just call a shovel instead of a farm instrument. Call the truth the truth. If you for 1 minute think that the 4,000 Hondurans that are coming up through Mexico are an accident, how on God's green earth do you walk that many miles and still have a smile? They used to put us on 20-mile marches, and I was not smiling when I started, let alone when I finished, carrying a baby. Woo-hoo! Lucky, lucky! Come on. Our government right now is so messed up. We've been divided as a country. We are weak. We are primed and ready right now for Jesus to return, in my book. But we have to do what we got to do right now. Get out and vote. I've got people trying to get me on phone calls, phone sessions for hours to try to get you guys to get out. I don't need that. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit and tell you, get out and vote. I don't care how smart you think you are about it. You've got to vote. Well, I'm just not going to vote. Well, thank you. That is indeed a vote for the other side. I don't think you understand how our system does indeed work. You've got to vote. My boys, you know, one of the first things that I made them do when they turned 18? Get down there and register. Selective service and voting. I can't believe you'd make them join. Well, one, it's the law. And if we have to go to war, they ain't going to be alone. So what God was showing mankind at that point is there's going to be a government before Jesus returns that looks strong, but has its weaknesses. That's where we're at. Most of these governments we saw before that fell, Rome fell, Greece fell, they all fell. And one thing that they have in common, and if Job was in here today, he could attest to this because he has before, that they started idolizing their sports heroes and their actors. Homosexuality was the number one thing. It was just a freak. Do whatever you want. Hello. They keep shoving it down. Every new show on TV now has its token homosexual. Every one of them. The new Connors, they've even taken the little boy and good night, what is going on? They take this little boy and try to make him a little girl, but he wants to be a little boy. Nobody's confused when you're that age. Adults are the ones that are ridiculous. We are in such a time that that stuff is acceptable. Do you know a homosexual? You probably do. How do you treat them? With love, with respect. Do they deserve anything special? Absolutely not. Do I deserve anything special? Why? You treat everybody the same. You love all people, all men. It doesn't matter if they're Muslim. It doesn't matter if they're Sikh. So many people today, though, they don't know the difference. Sikhs aren't going to try to blow you up, just so you know. There's a few of them in Marion. Don't freak out if you're an Aldi and the guy with the turban's in there. Turban doesn't mean they're terrorists. Know the difference. Know who you're talking. Know the people. Do you know most of the time I can tell you the difference between a Filipino, a Korean, Chinese, or Japanese, and sometimes even Vietnamese. And sometimes that's really difficult. But if you observe people, you'll know who they are. Certain mannerisms, certain body types, sizes. Well, that's profiling, Pastor. Oh, give me a break. You can look at people and say, well, you got a little bit of Irish blood in you, don't you? Why? You're redhead. Do you know that's not a guarantee? Even though I do have some Irish in me, too. Irish and Scottish are just kind of all blended together in the mountains. But redhead doesn't mean you're guaranteed that you're Irish. You could be English. Or you could be straight up Scottish. Oh, by the way, there have been redheaded Jews. Just certain things pointed out. So now let's go to our favorite book. The one book I tell you when you get saved, don't read it first. Go to Revelation 13. John was given a vision of our days. John, I don't know whether he described things the best that he possibly could. If you were trying to see what was going on, and maybe God did show him this straight up this way, and John probably had no clue really what he was seeing. Because like I was telling a guy the other day, we have spent so much time trying to explain what's going on. The Seventh-day Adventist actually, if you get a mailing periodically, you'll get a mailing and it'll have all the beasts of the sea and the lamb and all this stuff of Revelation coming out. That stuff, I'm into that stuff. You need to understand, I'm a little bit of nerdy that way. You got monsters coming out of the sea and stuff like that. And boy, I was like, man, I want to go to that seminar. Well, Pastor, you don't want to get involved in it. They're cults. Let's see. What made him a cult? They wanted to worship on Saturday? They believe in the Holy Ghost. They believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm just asking. What? Who gives people a right to label somebody a cult? I'll be surprised if that's one of the things that hasn't gone in this community about us. Tough. But as long as they accept Jesus Christ, that you know that's the defining moment. Well, David Koresh, he claimed to be Christ.
That's a cult. Yeah, Jim Jones, that's a cult. Jesus is going to told us to go out here into the wilderness, into these caves. Hello, that's your first sign it's a cult. Anytime somebody says, follow me to the woods, bad things are going to happen. Especially if they have all the guns and the Kool-Aid. You're in trouble. Revelation 13:1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his authority, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. All right, here's where we start getting real stupid. The Antichrist will suffer an assassination attempt, and it'll be a headshot, and he'll recover, and the world will follow the Antichrist. Wrongo. Let's go back. The beast, the sea represents the people, right? That is, nobody will argue with that one. The sea represents a mass of people. Out of the mass of people arise a beast that has seven heads, right? One of them mortally wounded. But on each head, or actually a couple of heads have more than one horn, there are ten horns. And on the ten horns, there are ten crowns. So each horn represents a leader. Not the head. The head represents the individual country that is coming out and has unionized. That's the only word I can come up with, okay? Some people, well, it's the European Union. I don't know, it might be. I ain't arguing that point. The horns are representative of the people. They wear the crowns. So that's what the horns are representing. This whole conglomeration has a blasphemous name on it. What is it? I don't know. It just says a blasphemous name. Whether John saw it, we don't know. But coming out of that sea, out of that organization, was one country who was so, it was about to die financially. Greece. The United States? I don't know. But because the head recovered out of this union, the rest of the world saw what happened and they followed the beast, which is the entire organization, not one person. This is what we got to establish. It's not some good-looking person. Now, will there be? There will be one voice that speaks out louder, but he's not the one we need to fear. I don't fear anybody anyhow. What are they gonna do? Take away my birthday? Shoot me. I refuse to deny Jesus Christ. And anything you're telling me I have to do as my government that requires me to go against my Savior. Here I am. Do I need to make an advance so you'll pull the trigger? I don't know. I'm just stating. The beast is the entire thing, not one individual. By the way, this is your Bible. This is not my personal opinion. That's why I make sure that it's up there so you can read it. We have to read the Bible as if we're reading any other book that we stay on subject. I hated English. I hated English class. So bad I repeated the junior year, my senior year. So I got a few ideas on what the subject matter is, who's speaking, and what they're speaking about. We are speaking about a beast, a conglomeration that came out of the people. And out of that, there were 10 leaders. Whether they ruled at the same time, that I do not know. The Bible does not tell us they ruled at the same time. Does it? There are questions. But people are jumping up and they're saying, well, hey, prophet so-and-so said this is how the book of Revelation goes down. Prophet so-and-so is taking his interpretation from a prophet from 20 years before and 20 years before that. We are 60 years down the road. We have seen this happen, this happen, this happen, this happen. When this prophet spoke, opened his mouth, Israel was not even a nation anymore. Things changed. So now we start seeing things happening. Groups, people coming together. I have no problem right now with the president saying, you know what, we're going to focus on us a little bit. We're going to protect us. You know why? Because nobody else in this world does. I will tell you this, even before the last 20 years, everybody thought, oh, everybody loves Americans. No, they love our money. They don't love us. They despise us. So don't think for 1 minute that, oh, hey, I'm going to go over Europe and they're all going to love me. They despise you. They want your money, though. So they will tolerate you. Verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Who did they end up worshiping? The dragon, the source of the authority. What authority does he give him? The authority of earthly governments. Okay? The authority that God is going to destroy in the vision in Daniel. So they worshiped the dragon who gave them authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the beast will come with a mighty army. Will have it. Doesn't say that he had to use it. He's going to be such a great, this head will recover from whatever wound it obtained. It will totally recover, and people are going to say, hey, that it worked. Nobody can stand against this. That's exactly what they're saying. Who can make war? Listen, right at the moment, no matter how bad beaten down we've been or where we're at, we still have the greatest military in the world by all rankings. I don't care what China does, because one thing that China doesn't realize is an army isn't tanks. Is it, guys? It's the boots on the ground. And when you've been beat down for centuries, you don't care about what your government says. Do you know why the Republican Guard just raised their hands when three soldiers or Marines would walk across the desert and they'd come down into this fighting hole and here's 20 Republican Guard, the elite of the elite in Iraq, and they all laid their weapons down and stuck their hands up because of the abuse of Saddam Hussein. When you treat people bad, they aren't going to fight for you. So this beast is going to have a large army, whether it's with the United States, I don't know. I know everybody's, well, the United States ain't going to be a part of it. Oh my gosh, come on. We're here. We are the most powerful country in the world. Are we a godly government? Not in my opinion. Supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. Evidence proves it's not there. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. We're not going to get into all this with the 42 months of peace and then blah, 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 blah. I've always told you, listen, if somebody is able to sign a peace accord with Israel and her enemies, pay attention to who they're connected with. Just pay attention. That's a definite sign. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and authority was given over him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. I need you to understand some things, folks. Like I said, if Joe wasn't with the kids today, he could verify this. When Caligula, the emperor of Rome, who was emperor at the time of Paul, Peter, and all the apostles, right shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he was the emperor, because we've always talked about, well, they're going to start sacrifices in Jerusalem again, and then he's going to set up his image and all this stuff. Before John ever had this vision, Caligula had a statue made in his image, and guess where it was heading, ladies and gentlemen? To the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. But one of Caligula's generals, particularly in the Judeo region, I can't remember his name, said, "This is a very bad idea. This is very, very bad." Why? Because he realized what he had been able to do is we've been able to keep these Jews at bay. They're simmering in a pot to death. But he said, if you bring that to Jerusalem and set it up, we got a fight that we may not win. It's not the first time somebody's tried it. And currently, right now, I'm not aware of a full-on temple there. Right now, there's a mosque sitting on the Temple Mount. Is that an abomination? Well, yeah. Considering that it is sitting over top of the rock that Abraham was supposed to have offered up Isaac. That's how much of an abomination. Like I said, there's still some things that happening. Some things may have happened. I'm not going to get here and say none of them have, one way or the other yet. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All right, so this beast, we're still talking about the beast as a whole, not any particular one person. The whole government that now the world is starting to say, hey, who can make war with him, has now been given authority over the saints, which is supposed to be the believers. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Dragons are deceitful. Those of you that, well, I just don't care about all that Dungeons and Dragons or all the mythology of dragons, I think dragons are totally awesome. Okay? I think they're cool. I watched the series Merlin just because of the dragon. But dragons are deceitful. That's what you need to understand first and foremost about a dragon. They are not your friend. Dragons are deceitful. They aren't Pete's dragon. You know, Puff. I think that dragon was a different type of dragon anyhow. You know, come out of the 60s, the dragon's name is Puff. Just saying. Somebody was on something. Honnelly. Anyhow. So he comes up, he's a lamb. He's got two horns. What again, what do the horns represent? They represent leaders of a group that are represented within that lamb. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He's deceitful. Now, many people, many, many, many people, and I am one of them, and if it is not this particular organization, it is one that will rise up just like them. They believe that the lamb is the Catholic Church. If you know anything about Catholicism and Catholic history, you will know the Catholic Church has been nothing about but money and power since a few people got in charge. You think I'm kidding? Go back and start looking up. Joe will tell you exactly which pontiffs you want to look at. Pope Alexander's one of them. Borgia was his real name. He lied to people. He had children by a couple different women. All of them did. But yet they believed it was wrong to get married. But yet you can have as many women and children that you want on the side. Nobody cares. They set up kings. They tore down kings. They held the authority. You need to understand what I'm talking about. It's proven, and many Catholics believe that it will be the Catholic Church. Now, well, wait a minute, Pastor. You know, it says it's got two horns to represent. Well, I know, I realize they only have one pope, but they do have two sects, the Jesuits and the Franciscans. Currently, they have, I believe it's a Franciscan monk or a pope, the first one in buku years. What is the Catholic Church well known for? Adopting other pieces of religion and bringing it in and calling it Christianity. This is the very garbage that got Martin Luther wound up. Okay? Today, the Christian church still accepts much of the garbage that the Catholic Church has been trying to shove down people's throats. I believe there's some good Catholic people. But anybody that will cover up sexual assault on children, and anybody particularly, but particularly against the children, cover it up and say, well, you know, we'll just send you to somewhere else. Yeah. I got a few ideas. Jesus had one. You want to know what his was? Tie a big heavy rock around their neck and throw them into water. My dad had an idea. I won't tell you what it is. It make every man in here cringe. My boys, we all joke about it. So this lamb will rise up out of the earth, again, out of the people. It will be of flesh. It will not have real spiritual connotations, because the Catholic Church does not have real spiritual connotations. They think if you say go through their course, you're saved. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible says if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are what? Saved. Hallelujah, brother. It doesn't say that you went to Mass every Saturday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Friday night. You gave up meat on Friday and only ate fish. You do know that's why we have fish fries on Friday. That's how influential the Catholic Church has been. I believe it will rise up a little bit more. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in to worship the first beast. Ding, 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 ding. What's one of the things that that all these people are running around trying to tell you about the end days are telling you? That the beast, the Antichrist, will force people to worship him. It ain't the first beast you need to fear, buddy. It's the Lamb. The Lamb exercises the authority. Guess what else he's got? He's got the army. He who has the army rules the world. And back in like in Pope Alexander's day, the Catholic Church army was better armed than the kingdoms. It was the priests, the bishops, and the cardinals who were making war. By the way, you want to guess why we went to the Holy Wars? And again, our local history teacher will verify it's because of money. It causes the worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he did, well, that's verse 13. And he deceives those who dwell in the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Again, we don't know if he's assaulted. This is the first time we see that there was a sword involved in the wound. What kind of sword? Because we know that there's no seven-headed beast going to come out of the ocean. Unless there's something in the Marianas Trench that we don't know about. And after I watched Jurassic World the other night, there's something big floating in the ocean now. If you haven't seen. I love dinosaurs too. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should breathe, speak, and cause as many as would not worship to the image of the beast to be killed. Again, who's doing this? The Lamb, the false prophet. That's who's doing all the killing. That's who's making people worship the beast. Why do I tell you not to be moved by signs? By somebody performing a hat trick? Oh, but Jesus, we need to see fairy dust coming down before we believe. Please, there's the door. Don't come back. If you have to see a sign to believe, you're a pervert. You perverted the truth. You're evil. That's what Jesus said. Evil people need to see a sign to believe. I see somebody do something, I want to know how they did it. If it is real supernatural power, like Janus, was it Janus and Jambres? Did I say the names right? I know one's Jambres. The two magicians in Pharaoh's court with Moses. They operated in the occultic world. It was supernatural power. God's power superseded their powers. Oh yeah, you did the same trick. Moses the snake went over and ate theirs. You know what I believe Moses' snake was? A king cobra. I took a big test last night. I got 42 out of 50 right. I ain't gonna lie, I guessed on most of them. Rattlesnakes are pretty easy to identify. Cobras, they're a little difficult. I didn't know there were so many cobras, but the king cobra is the only one whose primary diet is other snakes. The others, some of them will eat other snakes, but the king cobra hunts other snakes. And it's the biggest of all these snakes. They may have had little Egyptian cobras, but Moses standard, yeah, I got a king. Go get him. Who was evil in that? And by the way, who was evil in that room that day? Pharaoh, all the people that he was trying to prove a sign to. Faith comes by believing, not seeing. Okay? People, Christians, are going to be moved by what they've seen. Not the truth. They're going to be moved by what they see. Oh, but brother, didn't you see what that man did? Yeah, I did. He pushed those people down. Do you know that if you push somebody's head right here and push it back far enough, you lose balance? You will lose balance. Your equilibrium is now off and you just cut circulation off and you're binding your spinal column. You're going to lose balance and you're going to black out. You quit pushing on my head, but better yet, don't touch me. If it's the power of God, it'll knock me to the ground. God did that to me a couple times. I ain't gonna lie. But it was the power of God, not a man pushing me. That's because I was skeptical. I was skeptical still. God said, oh yeah, I got something for you. He ain't gonna touch you. That's the power of God. But if you got to lay hands on me and twist my neck around till I pass out because I'm lightheaded, you know, dude, I'm going. No, I'm not leaving you $5 in the offering. We are so moved by what we see. The world will be deceived by what they've seen. Oh, look. Look at the miracles. He called fire down from heaven. I'm going to promise you somewhere along the line, this beast will not be operating in true supernatural power. He's going to give life to an image that's going to speak. Hello, holograms. He's going to call fire down from heaven. Hello, we have things floating up in the sky that can shoot lasers. Hey, there's a fire right there. We have so much stuff. People don't have a clue what we got. Well, we know about this. We know about the stealth program. Yeah, guess what? They replaced it, and you don't know what they replaced it with. By the time you know about it, it was ancient news. There's so much stuff right now going on. This beast, the big government that will be trying to rule the world, which, by the way, has been always the goal of nearly every country. I do not believe it's been the goal of the United States to rule the world. Sure has been Russia's, or not, well, Russia, China, Germany, and Japan. It was their goal a couple years ago. It may still be Russia's. Where was I at? 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image to be killed. Well, guess what? If we're around at that time, I'll see y'all at the pearly gates. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now, this is something I really got to get to. The mark. Yeah, let's finish the next verse. And that no one may buy or sell except no one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice there are ors in there. First off, I do not believe anybody would want to actually receive 666. It's a calculation. Done in certain ways, it comes up Caesar. Guess who's dead? So it's not Caesar. So the calculation is obviously something a little different. Now, I will tell you, I did some studying years ago, and I came across three different markings for 660 and 6, and I got to find my notes so I can tell you exactly which one, but it came up with three different letters or three different symbols, and I'm like, okay, it says a mark. It doesn't say they're going to be beside each other, did it? I combined them all together, and I said, that looks familiar, and I started looking around. Oh, hello, that is the mark for the Pope. They will receive a mark. Now, it doesn't say we're going to a cashless world either. So don't worry. Just because our currency changes, there's going to be something of current value. Whether we go back to gold, silver, I don't know. Cryptocurrency, whatever that is. Fake money is fake money. It says you can't buy or sell without their permission. Whether you've got the mark on your hand, your forehead, there will be a mark. It will be the name. It will be the symbol. You got it? It doesn't say it's going to be cashless. Don't get worried about going cashless. There's something of value in there. Right now, at the moment, most of the world, it's their word. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. Those are scary words. Verse 18 says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I do believe this will help identify the person you need to be looking for. But if it was so stinking easy, I think nearly 2,000 years after it was written, we would have done figured it out. Right. It says, here is wisdom. You have to pursue wisdom and gain understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. If you don't have understanding, because we got so many people running around, you know, Aleister Crowley had 666 tattooed on him. Oh, the world went nuts. The church went, it's the beast. He even changed his name to the beast. Those of you Aussie fans, that's who Aleister Crowley is. Jesse came in the other day and said, Dad, you ever heard this song? And I said, what song? And he starts playing it. And it'd been a long time since I heard it. And it's Aleister Crowley. And I had to explain to him who Aleister Crowley was. And I said, yeah, he was a total pagan. I said, he thought he was so bad he called himself the beast. He died. Obviously, he wasn't the beast. So many people wanting, we're going to put barcodes. They're going to put barcodes on us. It's the barcode system. The first one, the middle one, and the last one are sixes. No, they're not. I see people with barcodes tattooed on the back of their neck. Come on. It's going to take wisdom, and it's going to take understanding of that wisdom. Understanding is a proper application of wisdom for a situation. Put in a situation where somebody pulls a gun on you and you're able to pull yours if you carry. Do you shoot or do you try to talk them down? Well, brother, wisdom says shoot them. Rob just asked me this morning. He said, yeah, I'm not certain what happens, you know, if the police do come, if you shoot somebody. I said, first thing, get your hands in the air because you got the gun. But the guy who has taught, well, he actually taught the active shooter, the CRACE training here, Greg Perry, he said, better have about $10,000 in the bank because you're going to jail that night. I can guarantee you, you're going to jail. If you shoot somebody in your home, tell them you feared for your life. That's the first thing out of their mouth, he said. He said, I don't care if you kill them. He said, I shot them and was in fear for my life. Isn't it sad that we have to plan things out? But where is wisdom, the practical application of wisdom? Somebody who studies people and watches people may realize, one, the gun's empty. Two, the gun's a cap gun. There's airsoft guns. They look just like the real ones. Wisdom looks at the situation and applies a better understanding to it. How many of you got to see the clip, a little bit of the clip from the police officer the other night? Two 11-year-old boys. They had a BB gun. He put them, man, I would have ripped them a new one. You can figure out what new one you want. I don't care. He said, do you realize I could have shot you? What took place, folks? Wisdom says, somebody's pointing a gun at you, shoot them. But understanding said, these are little boys. Let me look at this again. And he realized that it was a BB gun. You see, our understanding of wisdom isn't always God's understanding of wisdom. Wisdom says, just wipe them out. God's understanding says, but there's good. I can save them. Not everybody's going to be saved. God wants them to be saved. This is going to happen. Why? Because men's hearts are evil. It's about power. If you really want to know why, I don't try to get myself too... if you want to hear more preachers, you got TV. You're stuck with me. That's all there is to it. There are good preachers. I get concerned when we all start unionizing. I'm not part of any one camp, the Church of God, and not the organized Church of God. That's all there is to it. I claim nobody's tent to be a part of mine. I preach the Bible, not somebody's doctrine. If I see it in the Bible, I will preach it out of the Bible. I just preach to you out of the Bible. Not my personal opinion. I just showed you what it said. What it says. Not what I think. Because I'm sure there's things I'm not even hitting. But the Bible says these things. So we're also worried about this guy going to come around. He's going to be smooth talk. Man, he's going to be slick. He's going to be Armenian. He's going to, you know, he's going to have powers. And no, he ain't. It's his priest you got to worry about. It's when you can bring a religious leader on board, you're in trouble. Hello. What does every leader do? They go for the most powerful leaders at the time. Start bringing them in. Hey, buddy, you know, I know you, man, you're a good man of God. Billy Graham, I think, was one of the few that was able to go through without getting political. So many people today, they get in there and they start hearing it. Oh, you said, man, you just preach the gospel. Like, you just preach it. You preach it, brother. You preach it. And they're just sitting there struggling to go to sleep. And next thing you know, you got the pontiff in your pocket. We'll get your problem figured out. Hey, listen, we apply enough muscle to it, the problem goes away. That's why I'm a little skeptical of organized religion. Because here's another thing. Right now at the moment, many churches in this community and throughout the world now that claim Jesus Christ, that preach out of the same Bible as you and I, saying God has no problem with homosexuality. Hello, shall we go go in here? Because if he don't, he's got some apologizing to do to some people. He wants them to turn. What I got? Oh. Stupid. He was over here the other day. There's a stink bug up here. So don't let what's going on bother you and worry you and make you think you got to go find the movies, the books, the latest interpretation. We don't need the latest interpretation. You need to know what it says. Do you realize that's why God's people are led astray? They don't have knowledge of his own word. Well, brother, you know, the Bible, you know, my preacher said we need to go to the wilderness. We're going to be safe in the wilderness. I think pretty sure Jesus said, don't. And yet I knew good people who did. From Morrow County. If you don't have a revelation knowledge of the Bible, you will be led astray. You will fall. Let God be the one who reveals to you. God's principles are his principles. Seed time and harvest. It works. Try it. Tithing. If you ain't tithing, don't come to me with financial problems. Do that first. How can you tithe how can you expect blessing when you're stealing from God? We're gonna see it happen. Listen, y'all know I still haven't figured out why I like watching it. Just maybe digging in the dirt and finding stuff. But Gold Rush, I love that show for some stupid reason. I love the equipment for starters. I ain't gonna lie, D10 dozers and fun stuff. Yeah, when they roll a rock truck, how dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? But I watched kind of a recap over the years, and you know, if you don't know who Tony Beats is, he's a handful, but he's from Dutch heritage. He's a Viking, and he's a major mine boss up there. And he's ruthless, and he is, and he's for 2 years been trying to get a dredge about 100 miles away home, and every time he does, something breaks. The boat sinks or something stupid happens. And last night I was finishing it up when Angela came home and we was watching through the years, and he's gotten progressively worse and greedier, and he keeps doing dirty deeds to the guy who's leasing his property. And then when the guy bought his own property right next to it, he called the mining inspectors on him. And because he did not have written contracts in place, they had to shut him down. And then they keep showing these clips of what's to come this season. He says, I just don't know what's under. I just don't know. This is garbage. This is my, just cussing up a storm. I don't know why this isn't working. Hello, it's called seed time and harvest. You were a jerk to him, and God is saying, hello, buddy, I put this in the earth. What goes around comes around. It's going to come back and bite you. So when you start seeing people get greedy, you start seeing things fall apart on them. The Hoffman crew on that, they started out, they'd pray together, they'd do whatever. You know, God got the glory. The more they kept going on, the greedier they got. They started acting more like the world, and their best friends became mortal enemies. And the whole thing, until finally at the end, the reason, main reason he stepped down and walked away from it was he said, I've walked away from God. They don't tell you that on the thing, but he said, my relationship from God suffered. I don't pray anymore. I hardly go to church. He said, we got away from God. We got away from the thing. And one of his guys pointed that out. He said, you don't see it, but he said, we got away from God. So you know, folks, the world is seeing it. They just don't understand it. Wisdom says, let's get this figured out. How we're treating each other. How we're treating other people. Well, they're not a Christian. I don't have to treat them. Yes, you do. Yes, thank you. You need to treat people who aren't in the church even maybe a little bit better. Because we all know how we treat family, right? Who was your biggest fights with? Your brother, your sister? I think I choked my brother out once. And he would have gone down if mom and dad hadn't come and stopped me. But you know what? I'd die for him. And he would for me. So folks, these, get your information on the news. Turn it off. Just turn it off. Don't believe everything that's coming across. I don't care who's preaching it. If there's not proof, the Bible says to test these things. Prophets, one failed prophecy, you're to be stoned to death. I know prophets spending out the things that are coming this year. Well, you don't know how, you don't know. You don't know that didn't happen. Well, hello, it didn't happen. So quit putting out your prophecies. Just because you got three of them right doesn't mean you're right. God's probably showing everybody the same things. I don't by any means claim to be a prophet. Don't want to be a prophet, but I'm going to tell you right now. You can ask my wife. I've told her for the last, since 2008, who's going to be the president. Got called a, I don't know what I got called. He didn't actually call me a name. He said I was listening to demons. Well, that's a unique thing. I didn't know demons told the truth. Because he's the president. I'm just not sitting around rubbing my butt anymore because I'm butt hurt. Get over it. He's the president. Pray for him. And let's move on with our lives. If we spend more time praying for our government, praying for our leaders, pray for our teachers, pray for those who are our employers, our bosses. Pray for them. Try it. It works. Amen? Did anybody get anything out of that? Okay. I was just checking. I was like, man, Lord God, what are you going to, what exactly am I supposed to be bringing out of this message? But I think this stuff is neat. Yeah, it's just there. It's word. Yeah. We're wound up about the wrong things. Hello? Well, it sounds like you're just saying we go through life, la-di-da-di-da. Well, it sure sounds better than the way you're telling me I got to go through it. Oh, send me $100 and I'll fight in Washington, D.C. for your rights. Hello, how about I just spend that $100 on 30-06 rounds? I'll fight for my own rights. Okay. It's going to get pretty drastic if I have to do that, just so you know. I don't think it'll ever come to that because personally, what good am I going to do you dead? I will die eventually. And if that wasn't God's will, might be on the first shot. And I don't want to die like a fool dies. By the way, that's also where you get understanding of wisdom. Well, they're coming through their door. Yeah, but I think I can do more damage alive and without them knowing what I'm doing. I am one of those guys who would have been great running secret recon, cutting tires and stuff, breaking into compounds. I only did it a little bit. All right, let's stand before I wind up in trouble. Before y'all see the big hand of God come down and just shut up. Well, Pastor, you didn't talk about the rapture, and I'm not going to. By the way, Jesus is returning. That's all you need to know. Live your life every day as if, I hate to admit I've even seen the movie, but as Joe Dirt said, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back? Don't what you're doing where you want to be when Jesus comes back. Ask yourself that, and then maybe you'll think about it. Ooh, he could come back right now. I better get away from there. Think about it. They may have done it in there just to make him look goofy, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Do I want to be acting like this when Jesus comes back? Tearing down your neighbor, your wife, your husband, whatever. Beating up on somebody. Jesus, oh, hallelujah, praise to Jesus. Something tells me that that's not going to be the first words out of your mouth when you see Jesus and you're caught doing that. Oh, no. Be closer. Maybe not even the exact words. Oh, anyhow. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we thank you that in spite of what may come our way, you are always there. Lord God, I thank you that no matter what governments arise, what governments fall, what leaders arise, what leaders fall, what spiritual leaders arise, what spiritual leaders fall, you never, ever change. You are compassionate, you are merciful, you are loving, but you are also fierce. And we know these things and we believe all these things. Now, Father, I pray that you help us all to receive within us your peace and your love in these, during these times. Father, we believe you're going to send Jesus back to gather his people. We're not going to fight and spend our time arguing about when you're going to do that. It's a moot point. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in our hearts and in our lives, Father, to show us how to receive that peace within us in a tumultuous world. You are the only thing that doesn't move. So now, Father, I bless your people. I bless them, Lord God. I pray for their bodies to be healed, for high blood pressure to settle down, for peace to come in into their lives. Father, move on them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.